Tonight's scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. If you're reading from one of the Bibles provided to you under the bench, that can be found on page 929. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost."
I'm here to introduce our speaker. His name is Terry G. Jones. I had one job to do. He's from West Virginia. He's preached two gospel meetings for us before. We liked him. We invited him back. Tonight he's going to talk about Zacchaeus. I'm glad to present to you our brother Terry G. Jones.
Thank you, Brother Don. I appreciate that very, very much. Don't worry about the name thing. I'll answer to just anything. And if that's going to offend somebody, it won't be me. My first work was in Mountain City, Tennessee. And there was a preacher there before me whose name was Larry. And for the 3 years I was there, I was Larry. You know, habits are hard to get rid of. And so I never corrected anybody. I just went by Larry. And so that is no problem here. I was preaching somewhere here not too long ago, and they paid me. And I stuck a check in my pocket and didn't pay attention. A couple weeks later, I was going to the bank, and I got that check out, and I was going to deposit it. And I looked at it and it said, "Terry Varner." And I thought, I either need to give this to Terry Varner. I don't know if you know him or not, but he's a preacher. And I either need to give this to him or call them up and ask them what they want me to do with this. Names are difficult. I'm bad about names, and they come hard to me because if I don't use it, I lose it. People that I am around all the time, I'm good with, but those people that just kind of come and go from time to time, I have to stop and think really hard about that. I told Don last time, or the first time I was here, he introduced me, and it was one of the most impressive things I've ever heard in all my life. He stood up and just, no notes or anything, introduced me in pretty great detail, including the fact that he mentioned that I had done some mission work in Moldova and Ukraine, and then he gave a geography lesson on Moldova, and I learned some stuff from him I didn't even know, and I've been over there. And so it was an extremely impressive thing, and I appreciate it very much. So good to be with you. I hope you've had a great day, and we're glad that you're back tonight. We appreciate it very much. Let me just pause and say thank you for that meal this afternoon. It was just absolutely fabulous. I appreciate it very much. One thing that I know is that that kind of food and the abundance that it was there does not just happen magically. And I understand there's a lot of time and effort and work that went into that. And I want you to know that I appreciate it very, very much. I enjoyed every morsel of it, and how precious was our time together, and I appreciated the opportunity to visit with you and to get to know some of you better. And I'm certainly grateful for that time. Glad that we could be back together tonight. We're going to continue our study one-on-one with Jesus. And tonight, we've chosen to look at a very familiar passage from the Bible, a great Bible story, one that even probably some of the youngest of our young people among us tonight are familiar with. We want to talk about that occasion where Jesus came into contact with a man by the name of Zacchaeus. And when just the mention of that, even our young ones are thinking Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in that sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And tonight we want to talk about that episode. The fact that here's a man who so desperately wanted to see Jesus. Not just from a distance, but, you know, he wanted to get as close to him as he possibly could. But he had, you know, some difficulty in being able to do that. And so we see that he accomplished it in a very wonderful and marvelous way. Tonight, we're going to just pretty much a very simple sermon. We want to look at four things. When we consider Zacchaeus and the time that he came face to face with Jesus, we want to notice four things tonight about Zacchaeus. Number one, we're going to talk about Zacchaeus, the sinner. Number two, we're going to observe Zacchaeus, the seeker. Thirdly, we'll look at Zacchaeus, the sought. And then fourthly, Zacchaeus, the saved. Here is this man's pathway to salvation because he wanted to see Jesus. Let us begin by observing Zacchaeus, the sinner. We learn that from verses 1 and 2. Here the Bible tells us that Jesus entered the city of Jericho. He actually passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Jesus passed through the city of Jericho. Now, Jericho is about 17 miles northeast of Jerusalem. If that's not right, Don will correct me later, hopefully, on that. But my geography isn't the greatest in the world, but it's about 17 miles northeast of Jerusalem. You can find that on the map in the back of your Bible, probably. It was in the vicinity. And the interesting thing about Jericho, I think, or one of the interesting things, is the fact that Jericho was much lower in elevation than was Jerusalem. I understand it's about 800 feet below sea level, Jerusalem about 2,500 feet above. So when Jesus made his journey back from Jericho back to Jerusalem, he was headed for a difficult journey. It was going to be uphill. You know, as we say in West Virginia in the old days, it's uphill both ways. But that's the way that it was. But he passed through Jericho. And this marvelous thing happened as he did. We observe that Jericho was an affluent city. It was an important tax collecting station because of the great number of caravans that passed through there. Now, I want us to notice here that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. We normally talk about Zacchaeus as a tax collector, but he really wasn't. The Bible doesn't really say that he was a tax collector. It says that he was a chief tax collector. And it's my understanding that that means that he kind of oversaw the collecting of the taxes. Maybe he did not go out and collect the taxes, but maybe he oversaw those who did. And so, the Bible tells us in this same passage that he was a rich man. Now, I'm a little confused about this, I ought to say, because I've heard all of my life that because he was a tax collector and he was rich, that means that he got his riches from collecting taxes. And I'm not exactly sure that's the case. I've got to confess to you tonight that I'm not 100% sure that that is the case. I think that the implication is there. I think the possibility is there. Here's a man who certainly is in a position to perhaps extort some money. And we know when it comes to money that there are all kinds of dangers associated with that. What did Paul say about it? He said that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And you and I could tell story after story about the dangers that have come along with that. Just recently in the newspaper in our area, last week, I believe, there was an article in there about a lady in a denominational church, I believe it was in Marietta, Ohio, who had stolen $500,000. She was the church treasurer, and she had stolen $500,000. Now, how closely are you looking over the finances if you don't notice missing $500,000? I'd say your finances here probably look more closely watched, thankfully, Amen. Than that. I'm here to tell you, at Pensburg, we were $500,000 short. We'd notice. We'd notice. And so, you know, how does that happen? Well, it happens. The devil's always worked. You know, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It happens. And so that's the thing. If we're given, you know, that, you know, responsibility over money, it is a tremendous responsibility, but it's also a tremendous source of temptation. Tax collectors were notorious for not resisting temptation. Tax collectors were notorious for maybe making a little more money than whatever their regular wages would have been. Now, because of the position that Zacchaeus was in, we've got to acknowledge that he very well could have succumbed to that temptation. Nonetheless, we understand that he very well could have gained much of his wealth by extortion or by dishonesty. On the other hand, it could be that he was a wealthy man, an individually wealthy individual, who was appointed by the authorities to be the chief tax collector, to oversee the collection of taxes. Whatever the case may be, we come to understand by his own admission that he was a sinner, as we will see a little later on in our lesson tonight. So let's move on to the fact that Zacchaeus was a seeker. In verses 3 and 4, the Bible goes on to say, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. And he ran ahead and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass by that way. And so we notice here that he desires to see Jesus. He has this tremendous desire. Why did he want to see Jesus? Why do you think that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus? I don't know particularly the answer to that. Do you suppose maybe he had heard about Matthew? Remember Matthew? He was a tax collector. Jesus called him to be a disciple and only an apostle. And maybe he had heard of that, and that piqued his interest, and he wanted to see this Jesus. Maybe he had heard of the mighty works that Jesus had done. Perhaps he just wanted to see him from a celebrity standpoint. I don't know. Maybe it's the case that he had heard of the great crowds that Jesus had drawn and the great teaching that had brought those crowds together, and he wanted to hear some of that. Whatever the case may be, here's a man who had a desire to come to see Jesus. The Bible says that he sought to see who Jesus was, but he has a problem. Let's notice the source of that problem. The Bible says that he was short of stature, verse number 3. Now, I can relate to that. I know what that means. You know, I was kind of a late bloomer. Thankfully, at some point, I bloomed. And I grew a little bit, and I actually attained average height. That was a tremendous accomplishment for me. I was short all of my days when I was younger. I was always small. I'm half Jones and half Dotson. And Dotsons are always 6'6". You know, Dotsons are just that way. And Joneses are always 5'5". And you know, I had a 50-50 shot. But I ended up with more Jones than I did Dotson. Now, why is that a problem? When I was young, I loved sports, particularly basketball, and I learned at a very young age that if you're tall, it's a tremendous advantage in that sport. So I always wanted to be tall, but it wasn't in the cards. It wasn't in the cards. I always wanted to be tall. I always wanted to be taller than I was. I don't know if I could ever got so tall that I'd have thought I was too tall. And so I know what it's like to be short. You know, you got to do this. You got to look up at people. And here, the Bible says that Zacchaeus was short of stature. He wanted to see Jesus. He sought him, but he had a problem, and that is he couldn't see over the crowd. He couldn't see over that crowd, and that was the source of his problem. But notice that there was a solution. He found a solution. He may have been short, but he wasn't stupid. And so he figured out a way. That's what people do. God has blessed us with a mind, and we're problem solvers. And when we have a problem, we try to figure out how that we can solve that problem. And so he figured out the route that Jesus was to take, and he went ahead, and the Bible says he climbed up in that sycamore tree so that he could wait for Jesus to come by because he was to pass that way. Now, if we want to see Jesus badly enough, you know what we'll do? We'll find a way. We want to see Jesus badly enough, we'll find the way to do that. In Matthew chapter 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said in verses 7 and 8, "Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." Now, think about that. That's a promise that Jesus made. Ask, you shall receive. Seek, and what will happen? You shall find. Here is a man who's seeking. The Bible says that he is a seeker of Jesus Christ. He sought to see who Jesus was. Now here's a man who wanted to see Jesus so very, very, very badly that he climbed a tree. Now, I don't know when the last time you climbed a tree. It's been a while, I think, since I climbed a tree. And you know, every tree I climb is a little harder to do than the last one I climbed. It takes some effort to climb a tree. But here's a man, he may have been short, but he was agile. And he shimmied up that tree. Somehow he got up in that tree, and he sat in that tree, and he waited. That's how badly that he wanted to see Jesus. Think about the effort that went into that. Maybe a little bit of danger, I don't know. But he was willing to take the chance. He was willing to put forth the effort. He was willing. How long did he have to wait in that tree? Now, Scott and I used to bow hunt a little bit. Neither one of us do anymore. But back when I bow hunted, you know, I can remember sitting a long time in a tree. A long time, waiting for a deer. Here's a man who was willing to climb that tree and to wait. He didn't know how long to see Jesus come by that way. I don't think it was comfortable for him to do that. You ever sit on a tree limb? You don't do that for very long. It gets really, really uncomfortable. And yet he did it. He was willing to do that. Some people aren't willing to come into a church building that is climate controlled, sit on padded pews, to meet Jesus a couple of hours a week. They're not willing to do that. Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus. He was willing to climb a sycamore tree and sit on an old hard limb and wait for Jesus to come that way. Zacchaeus the sinner became Zacchaeus the seeker. And we find that Jesus said, "He who seeks shall find." You know why? You know why those who seek Jesus will find? Because Jesus will seek us as well. Jesus will seek us. You see, we need to seek God while he may be found. Isaiah 55 and verse 6 gives us instruction that we ought to do that. That we ought to seek God while he may be found. Now, when is that? When is it that we seek the Lord while he can be found? Well, it's today. Today. Because today is the day of salvation, Paul said. And tomorrow may never be. We can seek the Lord today, and he can be found today, but tomorrow he may not be found. I may die before tomorrow. The Lord may come before tomorrow. I may not have an opportunity in the future to find the Lord and to seek the Lord, but I have today. And Isaiah says, seek the Lord while he may be found. We need to seek those things that are above. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 tells us that we're to set our mind on things above, to seek those things that are above. We're to be seekers, to seek those things that are not of this earth, but the things that are of heaven. And so we need to seek Jesus. We need to seek those things that are of a spiritual nature, those things that are heavenly, if you will. Jesus asked on this occasion in John chapter 18, when there were those that came to make an arrest of him, I don't know what they were looking for. Probably they were looking for some scrawny little fellow that was scampering, you know, to run away. When those big strong soldiers came to arrest him, Jesus stepped out in front of them and he asked this question, whom are you seeking? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he confessed that he was Jesus of Nazareth. Seek and ye shall find. Let me ask you this question tonight. Who are you seeking? Who are you seeking? Are you really seeking Jesus? Or are you seeking something else in your life? You see, we always need to be seeking Jesus. We need to be seeking to do his will in our life every day that we live. Zacchaeus reminds us that we need to be seeking Jesus. But then we see Zacchaeus the sought. In verses 5 through 7, we see that things change dramatically in these verses. The Bible says, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him, and he said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Now, I want you to think about that. Here we find that Zacchaeus, maybe he sees this, you know, crowd of people coming in the distance. Maybe he sees the rising of a cloud of dust. And he gets excited. And there Jesus comes closer and closer. And the closer he gets, you know, the more intent that he gets on seeing Jesus. He knows that he may not have a whole lot of time. And so he's looking closely. He's looking intently. He's looking excitedly. When all of a sudden, while he's seeking Jesus, intently focused upon Jesus, Jesus looks him in the eye. And Jesus speaks to him. And Jesus speaks to him and calls him by name. And he says, Zacchaeus. Now, it'd been about the time I fell off that limb. Think about that. You put yourself in that tree. You've been waiting this long, and you just want to get a glimpse of Jesus, and all of a sudden, he looks up at you, and he says, Zacchaeus. He calls you by name. The first thing I'm thinking is, how's he know my name? How did he know Zacchaeus' name? Zacchaeus is thinking, I don't ever remember being introduced to him before. And he knows my name. Calls me by name. And then he gives him a command, and he says, Zacchaeus, you make haste and come down from that tree, for today I must stay in your house. Now, about this time, I'd say his eyeballs are about this big. I mean, his eyeballs are probably about the size of a saucer. Now he's not only seen Jesus, Jesus calls him by name, and he says, I'm going to be a house guest of yours today. Wonder what he was thinking. Did I tidy up before I left? What do I got laying around the house? Do I need to send someone along and tidy up before we get there? Maybe we'd be thinking that. Would we be thinking that? Would we wonder about that? Here's a man who now recognizes that he has a guest. He's going to stay. Wonder how long he's going to stay. He invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. I think this is the only time in Scripture we find that. And Zacchaeus now is hosting He's showing hospitality to Jesus. Notice the command here in verse 5. The seeker now becomes the sought. But that's what Jesus came to do. If you look at verse 10, Jesus says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." He came to seek even Zacchaeus, even this chief of the tax collectors. He came to seek him. The seeker has become the sought. All the while that Zacchaeus was seeking to see Jesus, Jesus already had a plan that he was going to seek out Zacchaeus. You know what that says? That says when we decide that we're going to come to Jesus, that Jesus is ready to meet us. I'm going to say it this way. It's probably not true exactly, but he'll meet us halfway. The closer we get to Jesus, the more we seek Jesus, the more Jesus is going to respond to that. He is going to seek us as well. How do I know that? Well, the Bible teaches it in abundance of ways. Think about, if you will, the prodigal son. You remember the prodigal son when he was out there in the far country? The Bible says that he finally came to himself and he devised this plan. He remembered how the servants in his father's house, you know, were living a lot better than him. And he decided he would return to the father's house with a penitent heart and beg him that he'd make him a servant and not a son. Only to find that when he neared home, that the father was out there looking down the road, waiting for the return of his son. And what did he do? He ran down that road. That father ran down that road, and he hugged him, and he embraced him, and he kissed his neck. And he planned a party. Because my son was dead, and now he's alive. And the father in that parable is the Father in heaven. When the prodigal returned, the father didn't wait for him to get home. The father ran out to meet him. You know, in the book of James, chapter 4 and verse 8, James said, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Isn't that what's happening in Luke chapter 19? Isn't that what is happening here? That when Zacchaeus decided to become a seeker of Jesus, that Jesus responded by seeking out Zacchaeus. And Jesus wanted to be a guest in his house. And he gave him this command: "You make haste, come down out of that tree, because I'm coming to your house today." We see the compliance to that command in verse number 6. "So he made haste and he came down and he received him joyfully." He received him joyfully. I don't know what the greatest thing that happened in his life up to this point, but I think this now has become number one. Here's a man who sought out that day to see who Jesus was. And now he's got Jesus giving him a command to come out of that tree. And by the way, hurry. He said, make haste. Don't take all day about it. Get down out of that tree and come. And he did. And he did it joyfully. He met Jesus and he did it joyfully. When people come into contact with Jesus, things are always better in their life if they let it be. Things are always better. You see, I remember some years ago, I used to watch the Today program once in a while of a morning, years ago. I haven't watched it in years now. But back then, I remember that they had a slogan. And the slogan was, and I liked it, "Oh, what a difference today makes." That's pretty good, isn't it? Oh, what a difference today makes. But you know what? An even better one than that is, oh, what a difference Jesus makes. Jesus makes a difference in the life of every person that will let him in. Every person who will seek Jesus, Jesus will seek them back. And it'll bring joy into their life. Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. And that's every one of us. Every one of us need Jesus. Every one of us need to seek Jesus. Every one of us need to joyfully come to Jesus to receive the salvation that only He can offer to us. If you would, turn your Bible to Mark chapter 10. Over in Mark chapter 10, let's begin at about verse 22. Mark chapter 10 and verse 22. There the Bible says, "But he was sad at this word." Who was this? This was the rich young ruler. We're going to talk about him tomorrow night. The Bible says concerning him, he was sad at this word, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God." Now, here's a man who was the exception to this rule. He didn't go away joyfully. He went away sorrowfully because riches ruled his life. But Zacchaeus came to Jesus, and he sought out Jesus, and now we notice that he came to Jesus, and it was a joyful experience. Now, here's a rich man. The Bible says that he was rich, but do you know what? He may have been rich, but he wasn't willing to allow those riches to be the ruler of his life. He complied to the commands that Jesus had given him. And we see how that he complied. But look at this complaint in verse 7. In verse 7, it says, "When they saw it, they all murmured, saying, 'He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner.'" Notice how that the consensus of the people of that day was concerning Zacchaeus, that he was a sinner. Zacchaeus acknowledges that. The people acknowledged that. They recognized him as a sinner. Why? Because he was associated with tax collectors. And tax collectors were all seen as sinners. And we see that there's a complaint against Jesus here, because Jesus was willing to socialize with sinners. Well, that's who Jesus came to save. He came to seek and to save sinners. And Zacchaeus was a sinner. Zacchaeus, the sinner, became Zacchaeus, the seeker, who then became Zacchaeus, the sought. And now let us notice Zacchaeus, the saved. Verses 8 through 10. Notice his repentance in verse 8. He says, "Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor. If I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold.'" I believe that these are words representing a penitent heart. Here's a man who, whatever he has done or whatever he's been guilty of, he's stating that he is willing to make that right. He doesn't want riches to rule his life. He wants to be in compliance with the will of the Lord. Luke 13 and verse 3, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish." It appears to me that in this verse we find the evidence of a penitent heart on the part of Zacchaeus. But then we see redemption in verse 9. Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham." He was a Jew. He was a son of Abraham. But you know, that wasn't enough. Just being a son of Abraham, just being a Jew, even being a good Jew, was not enough. You got to seek Jesus. And you got to receive the salvation that Jesus provides. We notice that salvation came to Zacchaeus' house. Whenever one seeks Jesus, salvation will come. Remember that thief on the cross? When he showed a penitent heart, what did Jesus say to him? He said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." And notice the reason here in verse number 10. The reason that Zacchaeus was able to be saved, because that's the mission that Jesus had when he came into this world. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Before Jesus was ever born, we notice that that was what Jesus was already identified as doing. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, "She shall bring forth a son, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That's what Jesus came to do. Prior to his even being born, it was already announced, he's come to save his people from their sins. Peter pointed out that salvation comes not by any other way, but by being redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, Peter says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." You see, it's only through the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ that we can be saved. Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." We've noticed tonight that Zacchaeus met Jesus. We've noticed Zacchaeus the sinner, Zacchaeus the seeker, Zacchaeus the sought, and then Zacchaeus the saved. Notice here the pathway that Zacchaeus' life had taken. One day in his life, he decided to seek Jesus. He didn't know where that journey was going to take him when he began it, but it took him to the greatest place ever. It took him to salvation. We trust, ultimately, it took him to heaven. That can be your story tonight as well. If you're not a child of God, if you'll seek Jesus, Jesus will save you. But you got to come to him on his own terms. When Jesus gave a command to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus was ready and willing to do what Jesus asked him to do. Are you willing to do what Jesus commands you tonight?